Now, what comes to mind for you when you hear that word next? You know, what gets stirred up? Some of you I know, and I would never call on you because you're thinking about that R&B group called Next. That's not what we're looking for this morning. Maybe for some of us, if you've been a part of this community for any length of time, you might even think about our next right step. It's kind of like languaging that we use around here, so that we are actually a community of people who hear Jesus' teachings, and then we walk it out. So our next right step. Some of you might think of that. But there are others who, when you hear that word next, when you think the word next, maybe nothing really registers, you know, or maybe even anxiety. It's like, what's coming up? What's coming up next? As we launch this series, I want to kind of set us up for what to expect over the course of the next few weeks. Super, super important with what we do today to figure out where we are going. We have to know where we are. So when I say next, what comes up for you? Be thinking about that. Be processing that. Because you've been to the mall, and you've seen those big old like placards where it'll be like the red spot with the X on it, and it says what? You are here because you're trying to get over to the food court, or that's where I'm always trying to get. I'm trying to get to the food court. And so I'm like, where am I, and where is the food? And that's, you know, that's me. But if I don't know where I am, it's going to be really difficult to get to the food court. Air quotes for those who are listening via audio podcast. How do I get to that food court? Or some of you can relate with the phone call. I call our Celebrate Recovery director, my friend Ihan. Ihan, I'm lost. I'm driving in the car. I call him, I'm lost. The first question Ihan's going to ask me, because he's good at that stuff, he's going to say, well, where are you now? Right? Because if I know where I am right now, then I would be able to have that roadmap, that guide to get to where I'm going. And so right now we're in that. Where am I? Isaiah chapter 43, verse 19. We read it earlier. See, I am doing a new thing. Now it springs up. Do you not perceive it? I am making a way in the wilderness and streams in the wasteland. That verse is spoken to the nation of Israel at a time in their history when they were coming out of Babylonian captivity. You see, they had been taken as slaves from their homeland 70 years earlier from when this is written, and between Babylon and Jerusalem, there was a 900-mile trip through hard deserts and wilderness. And so God speaks that verse to them. He says to them, as they are walking through a transition of being in captivity, of being away from their homeland, being captured, he says something that's kind of difficult if you're being real. Because if you've been conditioned for 70 plus years with being a prisoner, and then here comes God saying through his prophet, I'm doing a new thing. Do you not perceive it? I'm making a way in the wilderness and streams in the wasteland. If we're being real, then we know that's kind of a hard pill to swallow as we're evaluating where we are right now. Where? When I think about next and what's next and dealing with the here and now. Ooh, how am I doing in my walk with God, in my journey of faith? Oh, Pastor, are you trying to get me to see that depending on what my heart is going through, it's going to determine my ability to see, to perceive that God is doing something new? Pastor, are you saying to me that I could be in so much pain, that I could be suffering so much trauma, that although God is in fact doing a new thing, are you saying that I could be so riddled with it that I can't even see that God is doing something new? Yeah, that's what I'm saying. You're right. And when we are in such a place like that, someone else is looking at something and they're not, and all that pain and all that hurt, it's not affecting them the same way. So they can see, yeah, look at that. Look at what God is doing. I can see it. It's awesome. I can see. And somebody else is like, what? What are you talking about? Because our hearts can just suffer such an attack and such weight that it's like, I can't even see the good stuff. All I'm aware of is the pain. And so if that's you, if that's you're here this morning, you're going to have to own that and say, oh, I can't see good stuff because my heart is just so heavy. And we've probably all been there, but some of us have conditioned ourselves to stay there. Oh, I don't want to hope. I don't want to dream. I don't want to expect because I've already been hurt. Oh, I don't want to dare to dream and dare to have hope. Dare to look ahead to the good stuff that God is doing because, oh, that's just too hard. I would rather just go through the motions of my here, not expecting anything, living half of a life. I know I've made that choice before. That choice, can I just say it like this? It sucks. Kind of sucks to be around me when I'm in, you know, and around you when you're like that. It just drains the life. But we're evaluating, where am I? Where is my heart in its perception? How is he saying God is doing good stuff? And I'm not seeing that. I'm going to say it's a heart thing. And we can't honestly deal with next steps unless we look at the heart. One of the things we love about our hearts is that our hearts will tell us what we want. Our hearts are awesome at that. Our hearts will tell us what we want. Our hearts will help us to be honest. When we listen to our heart, it'll help us be honest. But the heart is a dangerous leader when I'm looking at what's next. Because my heart can tell me what I want. It can tell me the good things that I want, and it can tell me the evil things. And we don't ever want to be the people who are doing with this. This is a very dangerous message. So let me just say it to you, make it real clear. Just follow your heart. Yeah. Don't that sound like so like cool, you know? Like, yeah, follow your heart, man. It sounds like innocuous. It just sounds so, you know, wow, yeah. Now that's a lie. I can tell you firsthand, I can give you testimony after testimony when I followed my heart that has sociopathic tendencies and got myself in trouble. Is anybody with me? So you have to watch it. You gotta be on guard because it's like the world talking about. Just listen to you. Follow your heart. Follow your heart. Yeah, I don't know about your heart, but my heart has got me into a lot of trouble. And so I have to be honest about where I am, where my heart is, and everything that my heart wants. I just get it as a Jesus following disciple, maturing disciple, I just take it and I don't follow my heart. I take that thing to Jesus. And like, Lord, I'm not sure if this is good, bad, evil, what this is, But you are my leader. You are my good shepherd. I need you to direct me from this place of honesty, of what I'm feeling, of what I'm going through. You be the leader, Lord. I'm taking what I'm going through in my heart, in my life, and I'm not going to act on it. My action is going to be, okay, Lord, this is what my heart is saying. Now lead me in your way. Because I really want you to be the leader. I don't want my heart telling me what to do. I want your heart, God, to tell me what to do. And that's how we get to our next, as we evaluate really where we are. I'm thinking about how we fall prey to our heart and its error. I'm just trying to get us ready for what's to come in the next few weeks. And have you ever put the blame in the wrong place? Your heart ever told you, it's her fault, it's her fault, it's her fault. Or it's their fault, it's their fault, it's their fault. Or has it ever said, that's God's fault? Because that's what I want to hit real good, and I'm gonna move on. I'm going to hit it real good, and then I'm going to move on. Because I want us to consider that some of us might be having problems, heart problems, perception problems, with discerning our next step, because we have put blame in the wrong place. We're saying, God made that happen. God caused that. It's God's fault. You want me to soften my heart toward God? And I just want to expose that lie number two. That lie number two. God is up to your good. He's not up to your bad. In times when we are so angry, so frustrated, God is so wonderful, so huge, so without limit, that he can hear everything that we've got to say. But can you imagine walking around being mad at God when you should be mad at the one who the scripture says prowls around like a roaring lion? Mad at God when you should be mad at the one who seeks to kill, steal, and destroy? Can you imagine being mad at God when you should be mad at the one who is the one who works disobedience in the world? Oh, but if we're being honest, we've all fallen prey to parts of that. I don't know who to blame. I'm just going to blame God. And I'm going to half-heartedly go through the rest of my life partially being upset, angry with God, while still on the exterior doing motions that look like I'm all in. Is this okay to do like this morning? So I would ask us to consider, to be wise, and like, be wise where we're putting blame. God can cause all things to work together for the good to those who love him and who are called according to his purpose. But God is not authoring evil. He knows how to make that thing work out for our good in his plan. But he's a good father. He's a good shepherd. He knows how to give good gifts to every single one of us. The heart. Don't let your heart be your leader. Let your heart tell you how you're feeling and what you're thinking. And let your heart motivate you to go, God, what do you have to say about these things? I'm going to soften my heart toward God. And I'm going to harden my heart toward evil, toward sin, toward hatred, toward bigotry, toward to indifference. And then we find the condition of our life and the condition of our heart is different. I have a question on your outline that I want to read for you. But before I get there, I want to highlight that we have some scripture reading homework from Luke chapter 5, verses 1 through 11. We're going to be looking at it for the next few weeks, so you can get a head start, check it out in various translations. but we're going to be using that as our series story for the rest of this series. So for those of you who've been asking for some Bible reading assignments, I just gave you one. We'll come in ready to go. Some of you have it memorized. Yeah, you could do it. So the question is, how do we respond well in our here? We've evaluated, we're asking the question, where's my heart? And how has it impacted my perception? And then we say with this question, how do we respond well with where we are? There's a scripture I want to share with us from Psalm 27, verse 13 through 14. It says, I remain confident of this. I will see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait. Wait for the Lord. Be strong and take heart. He goes and says it again, and wait for the Lord. Powerful scripture. I'm going to read it in another version that I love. I would have despaired unless I had believed. Believing comes from the where? Heart. I would have despaired unless I had believed that I would see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait for the Lord. Be strong and let your heart take courage. Yes, wait for the Lord. I would have despaired unless I had believed that I would see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. For some of us, we're facing such incredible anxieties, crushing anxieties. And then we turn on the news and then we get more things to be anxious about. I use this specific scripture because some of us need to wake up in the morning and all throughout, maybe set an alarm on your phone. And you need to say this scripture aloud as a promise from heaven, from God to us, that I know this situation looks real bad. My relative is strung out on drugs, and I just see his condition. I just see these things. But I'm holding to your word. I'm letting my ears hear my mouth say, I would have despaired unless I had believed that I would see the goodness of the Lord. I'm going to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Now, I'm not talking about heaven. Somebody say today. I'm going to see it today. And that's where I'm going to make my commitment. I'm going to see the goodness of the Lord today while I am alive. Not just in the great what? By and by. That's just too timid. It's not even what God is asking us to do. There are some things that God is specifically asking us to do that we're not going to be able to do unless we are agreeing with Him. And so for some of us, as we're facing situations, we're considering our next. You know, depending on how you slice it, it could go like this. It could be worst. The worst outcome, or it could be the best, or somewhere in between, but there's a part I have to play. I think that's always an issue to kind of wrestle with. Oh, wait a minute. God, why did you make it so that I have to partner with you? How come you just don't do the good stuff that we all want done, like, instantly? God's like, I love you, I give you free will, I give you a choice, I want us to be together. You guys have been given authority so that however heaven looks, earth is supposed to look that way. Your thinking, your awareness, your decisions are supposed to say, I'm checking in with God about what love looks like right now, what the compassion looks like right now, how I can be a help right now. So there's a part I have to play because God's like, hey, you guys are my church. I do a lot of stuff through y'all. There's no getting around it. Some of the things we see are that way, not because God's not doing His part. It's because we're not doing ours. We own it. We own it. We say, okay, God, I'm going to do my part. I have to believe I will see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. As I'm looking at what's next, what my next steps look like, some things to remember. God is with us in our here. God is with us in our here. Emmanuel, God with us. He said, I'll never leave you or forsake you. I'm going to be with you to the end of the age. Well, then my heart needs to chill out, and I need to tell my heart, hey, heart, I know you're tripping right now because of what you're seeing going on. But God did say in his word very clearly that he was going to always be with me. And you just say, heart, the Lord is my shepherd. We're going to have everything we need. Heart, it may not look like things are going right, but I know that God is turning something around because he told me so in his word. Heart, listen to me. And just make sure your heart is just full of the truth of God and the promises of God. And then guess what? Anxiety, it stays away from you. I'm not going to stress myself out so bad. I haven't even done the thing that God's called me to do yet because I disqualified myself because of all the stress. And it's the reality of our life. So we have to be these people who are, God, I need to hear from you. I want to be more vertical and I want to be less horizontal because I'm real good at looking at what's going on around me in all my relationships, and my relationships are affecting my walk with God. But let me do it the other way. Let me put a more of an emphasis on what God is up to, what he is speaking to me, and then let me walk into these relationships or situations and crisis as he leads me. Very interesting, of all the things that Jesus could say, he would tell him, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Seek first what's going on up in heaven and get an understanding of that for what your day needs to look like today. Seek it because it's got to be pursued. Seek it because it's got to be found. Seek it because there are things that will prevent us from responding to God the way he wants us to. There's stresses, there's bills, there's money issues, there's all the stuff we deal with. They're always kind of like fighting for that space. Remember, God is with us. Here often involves waiting. Which is why it makes it so clear. He's like, hey, your priority is seek me first. He says, I'm going to add everything else to you. Seek me first. Well, God, this is probably going on in my marriage. He's saying, seek me first. And I'm going to add to you what you need. Well, God, there's this, I'm without a job right now. And he said, I told you, seek me first. Oh, but God, I got this health issue right now. So I'm going to seek me first. Wow, Jesus, that sounds simple. That sounds real simple. And I'm so glad he made it like that for us because he's setting us up to win. He's telling, hey, you can do all these different things, but your priority, seeking me first and letting me add the peace that you need, the wisdom that you need, the solutions that you need. You're not going to be able to fix it, but if you meet up with me, I'm going to put something in your heart. I'm going to give you an idea, and I'm going to change you, and you're going to be able to change and bring change to whatever it is that you're concerned about. Just a practical people, right? Just a practical people. Here often involves waiting. We don't want to seek God, so we get ahead of him and we just mess stuff up. Am I the only one that's messed it up? It's like, then just chill out. Be still and know that I am God. Like, I'm a good shepherd. I got you. Don't get ahead of me. Do your research, but don't you do nothing unless I tell you to do it. But Lord, right? Don't get ahead of God. Good thing there's grace and mercy for that. I can tell you firsthand. What happens here prepares us for there. Lastly, what happens here prepares us for there. Sometimes it could be in so much pain or whatever the condition is of our heart is, that we forget that today sets us up for tomorrow. That all the things we go through is for a good expected end and outcome. But I sure have to be faithful with where I am today and not let the future pressure me into being wacky and doing stuff. Let me just remember that God is preparing me for something today. And that my steps are ordered. So as I pray about what's happening with work, and I'm dissatisfied with work, and I'm dissatisfied with this, this dissatisfaction can make you lose your mind and do all kind of stupid stuff, but we have to say, oh, that's what my heart is feeling. Lord, I'll just take my dissatisfaction to you. Help me work this thing out so I make the kind of decisions that are according to your good plan for me. So what I'm doing today, what you're doing today, is setting us up for a glorious expected end. And the trials and tribulations that we face, the fights that we get into, the struggles and things that we have to go through, they are a part of it. They are but stepping stones. And sometimes we just want to get there so bad that I don't want to deal with what's here. But if you don't deal with what's here, you're not going to have what's there. We have another song of worship. I hope this gives us an opportunity to kind of think about where we are in our hearts. Where am I today with stuff? How am I perceiving? How am I seeing? We're going to have an awesome series.